Turn with in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I've preached at more missions conferences this year probably than any one year since I've been in the ministry. So obviously missions is on my mind. But let me say this also. One of the guys that got me started with attention toward missions was Brother Modlish many years ago. And one thing he said is, you can't wait till your missions conference to talk about missions for your people to stay interested in missions. And I agree with that. So today, with the amount of time that I spent with Edie and her family and other things that we had to take care of this afternoon that were timely and needed to be done, I was really scrambling around just to ask the Lord, what do you have for the folks? And I don't like to put it to the last, but there are days when God already has the message. All he needs is the messenger. And this passage of Scripture came to mind, and I want to show you something tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that is very interesting to me and very much of a revelation to me. And that's this. Listen carefully. Missions is of God. Sometimes the way we handle it, we think that's something that we do for God. But it's not something that we do for God. Missions is of God. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to guide us through the lesson tonight. Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, while we're praying, to continue to comfort Edie and her family as they're obviously grieving and mourning Orville's death, but also celebrating his arrival in heaven. Now, Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to open our eyes of understanding to the simplicity of the things we're going to talk about in this text tonight, and stir our hearts to understand what we're seeing. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. All right, so missions is of God. That is, missions is a demonstration of these things of God. First of all, look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now, when I've preached this text before, I say, isn't it amazing? Look at that great church in Macedonia. They were going through a great trial of affliction, and they were in deep poverty, and yet it abounded under the riches of their liberality, and they had great joy. Wasn't that a great church? But you can't leave out verse 1, because they could have done none of that if it hadn't have been for the grace of God. And missions is a demonstration of the grace of God. God is the one that does what happens in churches. It is God that started the whole idea in the first place. It is God who sent His Son here. It is God who separated Paul and Barnabas for a work that the Holy Spirit had for them. And He equipped them by His grace to accomplish what they did. So all that Paul accomplished in leading these people to the Lord in various regions there in his ministry and these mission trips, that's all a demonstration of the grace of God. What he and Barnabas were able to accomplish, what Timothy and Silas and Barnabas and others that got into that, that's all a witness. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I'll tell you what we've been able to do in this church for missions is not a demonstration of how much this church does for missions. It is a demonstration of the grace of God on this church, that He's bestowed on this church to do something for missions. And I believe that with all of my heart. If God said, you know what, I think I'm just going to hold off my grace, this whole thing's coming to an end. And you know something, we never want it to be any different than that. It has to be of God. Jesus Christ said, without me you can do nothing. And you know something, I lived enough of my life without Jesus Christ doing something in my life that I don't really want to live anymore of my life with Jesus Christ doing nothing in my life. I want to be dependent. And the church, we should want to be dependent upon the bestowal of the grace of God on this church. Listen, God has always given us abundant provisions. He's just been so gracious in that capacity. But you know something, there may come a time when the abundance of those provisions is not there. But if the grace of God is there, we can continue to do what we're doing for missions in spite of that, because of the God who, about whom missions is. Always, always, missions is about God, and it is a demonstration, first of all, of the grace of God. We can do what we do because of His grace bestowed upon us. Look, there are several references to this. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was yet rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. There's your missionary. And he that is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that accomplished that. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, recently I preached on these passages here about sowing sparingly, reaping sparingly, sowing bountifully, reaping bountifully. But look when you get down to verse 8 in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. That's where it all comes from the grace of God. And the grace supplies all sufficiency. In this case, that's what abounded to the riches of their liberality. That's what abounded to their joy. That's what abounded to their opportunity to do what they did. Now, the passage we started in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, started with the mention of the grace of God. Well, you get down to the end of chapter 9, look at verse 14. Speaking of those who receive the ministry of the gifts to missions, by their prayer, verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding, what is it? Grace of God in you. Listen, if the missionaries don't see the grace of God in us, if all they see is a check, that's not good. The check is certainly part of the deal, but the grace of God is to be magnified in missions. Notice also that missions is a demonstration not only of the grace of God, but it is also a demonstration of the will of God. All right, we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 again. Look at verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and watch it, beyond their power. Well, if it went beyond their power, that means God got involved in it. Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by, there it is, the will of God. The will of God for that Macedonian church was first to give themselves to the Lord, and secondly, to give themselves to Paul and this group that were administering the gifts that were received to those that were in need. And if it's the will of God, then men didn't think of this. Missions is not some concept that somebody one day, people will say, what they'll do is they'll say, you know, this program of mission started by this, and they're going to name you some famous guy. This church does so much, and they'll name the preacher. Folks, this is the will of God. It's the will of God that you get saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's the will of God. It's the will of God that when we get saved and we're in church, that we get involved in missions by giving ourselves first to the Lord. That's a surrender. That's a submission to the God that saved us, and then unto those that are doing the work. They call missionaries visiting churches, they call that deputation. Basically, what that means is this church deputizes the missionary. They're a part of us. And if we're doing this by the will of God, it is not just a monetary gift. It is a gift of ourselves to them. And once it becomes a gift of ourselves to them, then we're praying for them. We're concerned for them. We do for them. And we make our gifts for them. By the will of God. Missions is of God. It's a demonstration of the grace of God. It's a demonstration of the will of God. But it's also a demonstration of something else. As you read down through 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you've seen there how Jesus became poor that we might be rich. And then he's getting on the Corinthians. Listen, the Macedonians made their gift. He says in verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. And then he says in verse 14 that what that does is it provides us an equality. So the church over here has the wherewithal, the missionary over here has the need, and so there is an equality in that, like it was in the Old Testament in the distribution of the manna, everything parses out right. Verse 15, as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But then watch this. Because this is the next thing. Missions is a demonstration of the grace of God. It's a demonstration of the will of God. And then this. It is a demonstration of the care of God. Look at verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. It's a demonstration of the care of God. You know, the thing that happens when we take these cards on Wednesday night and pray for these missionaries, and the things that happens when we get involved in missions is that if it's working and God's doing it, we start caring, not just giving, caring about those we support, and God does it. It's not just an emotional human, oh, I sure love you. God puts the care in there, and then God puts the same earnest care into the heart of those who are involved in it as well, receiving it, preaching about it, participating in it. You know, I remember when we started making mission trips years ago, that changes your heart about things. I'll never forget when you took your family on a mission trip. You guys were all still real new to this, and I was thinking, man, how's this going to turn out? Oh, man. Bobby and his family got involved right away and all that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, you know, here's a guy, you've taken off whatever we were going, a week or 10 days. Huh? Yeah, 8 days and you know, fly at your own expense and go up there and do all this kind of stuff. And we're flying back. And we got stranded in Newark and it all got messed up. You were there. There were 20 some odd of us, and we got stuck in Newark overnight, and a bunch of them went over to New York City and Times Square and so all that. Anyway, we're flying back. Bobby kicked back in that seat, and he was near me, and he looked at me and smiled. He said, this is the best vacation my family and I have ever had. And it was a work trip. They were sleeping on mattresses on the floor of the sanctuary at that church because the rooms were too hot to sleep in. And I thought to myself, there's only one way in the world that this could have been the best trip. God put care in their hearts for the folks that we went to serve. God did that. God did that. An earnest care, a real desire to help. Only God could do things. Listen, I'll tell you how it goes with missionaries. If God doesn't put an earnest care in our hearts for these missionaries, you know what will happen in time? You'll get bitter about it. Because sometimes they don't live up to our expectations. Sometimes they do stupid things. Sometimes they write letters and it seems like all they want is money. We've been down this road. But if God gets in this thing and puts earnest care in our hearts, it changes everything. You're locked on. You say, buddy, this is where I want to be, right here doing this. So missions, see, is of God. And if we remember that, then we yield to the grace of God. We yield to the will of God. We yield to the care, that earnest care that God puts in our hearts. And we get past our own eyes. We live by faith and we respond in a way. Why? Because God cares about the souls they're trying to bring to Jesus Christ and the labor they're doing. So He has to put that care in us in order for us to be able to communicate with them in a way that will help them, by prayer and giving and letters and everything else. But that's not all. That's not all. Missions is a demonstration of something else concerning God as well. We're at verse 16. Look at verse 17. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. So you got that involvement of the man and involvement of God. Verse 18. We have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us, here it is, to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Missions is a demonstration of the glory of God. Missions is a demonstration of the glory of God. Isn't it true that God deserves all glory? And isn't it true that whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God? It is true. And that we are here for God's pleasure. God gets the whole thing started, so God gets all the glory. In other words, what it is a great opportunity for a church working together, giving together, praying together, communicating with the missionaries together, caring together, following the will of God, to do something that God gets glory out of and wants glory out of, to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. You know something? Then that I'm telling you, that to me is a good thing. Because after you've been saved a while and you've lived a while and you've made some bonehead decisions and done some stupid things, which some of us have done. I'm in that category, okay? You get to a place where you don't want to do that anymore. What you want to do is you want to do something you know glorifies God. So if God puts the touch on you, as they used to say, he's touched. God puts the touch on you. It's because through you, he is trying to glorify himself. Jesus Christ said to his Father, glorify thy name. And he said, I have glorified and I will glorify it. You know what it cost him? His life. If a missionary goes to the field with the intention of glorifying God and things head south, listen, he will first check to see whether God is being glorified in the poverty he is experiencing, in the hardship he is experiencing, in the near death that he's experiencing, because that's where God gets glory, in the sacrifice. He got that out of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ told Peter, I'm going to show you the way you're going to die and how you're going to glorify God in your death. The missionary doesn't run and say, oh, this is a terrible situation. Look at all these events that have turned from us. He stays put because in it God is being glorified. And same way with the church, when things get tough or when things get shaky or like they did for Macedonia, get hard, they say, we're staying with this. Why? Because this is how we glorify God. One of the ways. And when you think about it, it's simple, really, like so many other things that concern God. Is not salvation simple? Jesus already did the work. You simply received the gift. What could be simpler than that? And missions is the same way. God bestows the grace. God reveals His will. God puts the earnest care in your heart. You simply respond to it. It could not be simpler than that. And through it, God gets glory. You say, yeah, but that's my money that's involved in that. It's not yours. God gave that to you. If He took His blessings off your household, then you really would have something to complain about. And me too. And this church too. But God won't do that because it's to His glory. Now, something else. So he runs on down through chapter 8 and he gets into chapter 9, and as I've recounted to you, he starts about the sowing thing in verse 6. He says, verse 6, of chapter 9, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. But look at verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Missions is a demonstration of the love of God. I'm glad God gets glory, but you know something? I know that God is love, and frankly, I want to get in on all of that that He'll let me have. I really do. You know, there was a time when, like young people that were seeing in our church now, my life was distracted about me and my desires and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, man, once you get a taste of the love of God, which we've all had some taste of it, we had it in the gift that He gave. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Boy, you get a gift of Him pouring out His love to you, you're like, sign me up. How do I get into this shower of blessings? That's what missions is about. It's one of the greatest ways. You know, we've stressed before about you give the gift to prove the sincerity of your love. We've been down that road. But you know what this does? This also demonstrates to you the love of God. Man, there's nothing greater than that. Nothing greater than that. It demonstrates the love of God. Listen, honestly, if people today, Christians today, could experience the love of God to the degree that He wants to reveal His love to us, they would never look for contentment in anything other than Jesus Christ. And it's hard, particularly on young people, because of all the things around them, the pleasures around them and the infatuations around them, those are the things that become important. They say, God, You need to make this deal work out. They're trying to get God over here to, you know, for our selfish desires. You get all that out of there and find the love of God. There is a contentment in the love of God that suddenly overshadows any desire you have for possessions, any desire you have for relationships, any desire you have for ambitions, any desire you have for anything but more of the love of God. Missions is a demonstration of the love of God. Now, because missions is a demonstration of the grace of God, that's what gets the whole thing going and that's what keeps it going, and the will of God, because we yield ourselves to Him, and the care of God, the earnest care that He puts in our heart because it's way beyond us, and the glory of God, which we all desire, and the love of God, which we all desire, we have a response. We have a response. Look in verse 12. We studied just recently all of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, how God, through His grace, makes everything available to you. He truly is all sufficient. But now watch in verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Our response, thank God. Missions is a demonstration of the grace of God and the will of God and the care of God and the glory of God and the love of God. Our response is thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God. You see, it starts with us because it starts by this. Thank you, God, for the provision to be able to do something in missions. And then the missionary receives, thank you, Lord, for the provision to meet this need. And then that just starts a cycle like the evaporation of water and rain coming down following it. Thanks God, thanks to 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 God. That is our response. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be involved in this and the thanksgivings they had for all the churches who do things to help them. I love missionary letters when they get down to the thing, I just want to thank God for, because they realize this is something God's doing and something that God has done. Now, I really believe when we understand missions in this concept of what we see here that's all about God, it gets much simpler and it gets much richer and it gets much more pleasing to God, because he recognizes then it's not about us and it's really not about that man on the field and his family. It's about God all the way, start to finish. So thank God for a church. God has bestowed his grace, given his love, glorifies himself in this work that we can be a part of. Do you realize God didn't have to let us in on this? I'm thankful that he did. I'm thankful he bestowed his grace on us to do this. And I'm thankful when others are thankful to God for what he does for himself on their behalf. Wonderful, wonderful understanding of this little passage of Scripture. Folks, missions is of God. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. Amen. Father, thank you so much for an opportunity today to see a very simple lesson in a very profound book. May it ring true in our hearts from this day till Jesus comes, for Jesus' sake. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to even be involved in this. Help us to even get better for the sake of your glory, for the sake of multitudes of your thanksgivings, for the sake of the earnest care that you would put in our hearts, for the sake of that grace that you've bestowed upon us, that it would return the favor for which it's given, for the sake of the will of God that we may be yielded to you, and for the sake, Father, of the love of God that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.